Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the text for this morning is our second lesson this morning, recorded in the book of Colossians. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, soon after our babies are born, we bring them to the baptismal font. There are reasons for that. First, God commanded us to baptize all nations, including children. And secondly, God promises that the blessings of baptism are for us and for our children. And so we want them to receive those blessings from God. Last calendar year, six sets of parents in our congregation brought their children to holy baptism, so that they could receive those blessings of faith and the forgiveness of sins through what Paul says to Titus is the washing of rebirth and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The words of our gospel lesson this morning took place 40 days after Jesus was born at the purification of Mary, but 8 days after Jesus was born, the rabbi came and fulfilled the law by Mary and Joseph's request. And they had two reasons for doing that. First of all, God commanded that all newborn male children were to be circumcised when they were 8 days old. And it was also at that time where a new baby was officially given its name. And so his parents also took that opportunity to name the child. God had commanded them, both Mary and Joseph, to give that son, both biological and legal, the name Joshua, Jesus in Greek, which means the one who saves. These two things, Jesus' circumcision and his name, are the reasons for everything we do in the new year. Everything we do in words, everything we do in action, everything we do in our New Year's resolutions. What took place that silent night, holy night in the little town of Bethlehem? The Apostle Paul writes about it to the Galatians in chapter 4, verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. The eternal Son of God was born to fulfill the law as our substitute. And so one of those things that he had to do was, in his active obedience, be circumcised. That's one of the very first acts of Jesus keeping the commandments perfectly for us. But it was also an act of his passive obedience. As the eternal Son of God, now true human being, allowed himself to be placed under that knife. When our Savior Jesus bled the very first time for us, when he shed his holy blood for us, blood that washes our sins away. These actions of his active and passive obedience in his circumcision are in keeping with his name, the one who saves us. It is by his active and passive obedience that Jesus saves us, keeps the law perfectly for us, suffers the humiliation, the suffering that you and I deserve on account of our sin. That's all there in that name, Joshua. Recall Joshua? Moses had died. Joshua takes over by the Lord's command, leadership of the children of Israel. He rescues them from wandering in the wilderness. He leads them across the Jordan River and gives them possession of the land that God had first promised to their father Abraham. Our Joshua delivers us from the wilderness of our sins and our guilt. He leads us across the Jordan River of death into the promised land of heaven. There are many spiritual songs and hymns and other accounts that use that picture language of Joshua leading the children of Israel into the promised land as a picture of Jesus leading us into heaven, leading us to the Father's right hand forever and ever. Jesus' circumcision and his name means Jesus is my Redeemer. But our faith is not merely a faith in that future of going to heaven. Martin Luther put it well in his explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed, when he talks about Jesus redeeming me, a lost and condemned creature, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. In other words, his circumcision and his name. For what reason? Luther goes on, all this he did, that I should be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Jesus' circumcision and name is the reason, are the reasons, I serve him. I serve Christ in righteousness, covered by his righteousness in his holy blood through my baptism. I serve Christ in innocence because I hate sin and only want to do God's will. I serve Christ in blessedness as I give thanks to God, offering him gladly and freely my obedience in that service. The Apostle Paul lists some of the ways that we serve Christ in the new year in word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. The word of Christ is the gospel. Today we remember that it is his circumcision. It is his name. And because of that word of Christ, we speak words that teach one another in all wisdom, to help one another to grow in the knowledge of Christ, to be strengthened in our faith in Christ through the revelation of Holy Scripture. And yes, in love, we even admonish one another. We call one another to repentance. We correct one another when we see each other going in a way that we should not go. We speak those words of loving correction with wisdom. We gather together regularly, like this morning, and we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts to God. Sometimes we do that individually with each other. I think of the times that instead of using my Bible, I've used a hymnal when I have visited someone who was ill in the hospital. My sister sang hymns to my mother when she died on, before she died on Christmas Eve 11 years ago. We use the words of familiar hymns and familiar songs to teach our children, to encourage our children, and to encourage each other. These words that come from the word of Christ are spoken between spouses, between children and parents. They're spoken among members of the family and among members of the congregation with each other. They're spoken among our friends, and yes, even among our enemies. Whatever we do in word, we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, the one who saves us, the one who placed himself under the law, even in circumcision, to be our Redeemer. Jesus kept the law for us and shed his blood for us, not only as the reasons for everything we do in the new year in word, but also for everything we do in our actions. Listen again to the apostle. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What do we do when we act in this new year? Whatever we do, it comes out from under the cloak of love, the cloak of Christ's love, of God's love for us in Christ. It comes out from under a cloak of love and forgiveness that we have received from God and that we see when Jesus, that baby, is circumcised. And when his parents give him the name that God, through his messenger, told them to give him. Out from under that cloak of his forgiveness and his love will come compassion for one another rather than apathy. Will come kindness rather than harshness. Will come humility rather than pride. Gentleness rather than hurtfulness. And patience rather than running out of patience. Forgive one another. Bear with one another. Paul makes it very clear, we're going to have grievances against one another this coming year. One of us is going to say something or do something or not say something or not do something, and one of us then is going to be all filled with grievances and anger and hurtfulness against that person. What are we to do? Out from under the cloth, the cloak of Christ's forgiveness and love, which binds us together in the unity of peace, we bear with one another and we forgive one another, just as God has in Christ forgiven us. We do those things, indeed, under Jesus' blood, shed in his circumcision. We do them under Jesus' name, Jesus. And finally, the reasons we have for everything that we do in this new year also calls into attention our resolutions. The words of our text are part of a longer section in Paul's letter to the Colossians that deals with sanctified living. Part of that sanctified living are the resolutions that we make in daily repentance as Christians to resolve to drown our old Adam in the waters of our baptism so that a new man can arise and live for God in righteousness and purity. You and I have the power to keep those resolutions. We don't have to say, you know, I really should be more godly. Nah, it's really not worth the effort. I really should follow God's will in my life. I really am to be self-controlled in that pet and individual sin that is gnawing at me and troubling me each and every day. No, that's going to take an awful lot of energy and concentration, and I really just don't want to bother with it. No, we have the resolve. We have the power. We have the reasons. If for everything we do in our resolutions to grow in our sanctified living this year. And those reasons are the blood of that baby. The reasons are that name that was given that baby. The reason is the gospel. That's the reason for whatever we do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means by faith in the Lord Jesus. Because of what the Lord Jesus has done for me. Because of His active obedience. Because of His passive obedience. I will strive, often fail. In fact, I'll daily fail. But when I fail, I know that I always have His love and His forgiveness. And I know that I'll always have His power and the reasons to keep striving, to move more toward greater sanctification in my life. Jesus has removed our guilt. There are the reasons for our power over temptation and sin. That little boy, only 8 days old, who is the creator and ruler of the universe, submitted to circumcision to shed His blood, not just so that we go to heaven, but so that we can be in this new year the people that God calls us to be. We are His chosen people, holy and dearly loved by God. We want to be that, don't we? We want to act like that. We want to have that hope and that joy in our lives. We have those reasons. And they are the reason for everything in word, everything in deed, everything we resolve in 2012. God grant us His power and His peace so that we can do that to His glory. Amen. And now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.